My guest in the studio today is Dr. Ellen Schlasko, who is a freelance professional archaeologist, as she describes herself. She's been working on a particularly interesting project for the last few years in this area. Ellen, first tell us what sort of archaeology you are focused on. I mean, archaeology of particular periods?
I do various kinds of archaeology. As a professional archaeologist, you're often called upon to focus on things that you may not necessarily have studied directly when you were a student. But my main areas of interest are Roman archaeology, particularly Roman Britain. That's where I got my start when I was 20-something year old. I did some work at the Museum of London, working on Roman sites in London. And then on my PhD, I worked in the United States. Obviously, I'm an American. You can tell from my accent. And I was working on rice plantations in South Carolina. So my area of interest was the archaeology of plantations and slavery. I've moved to the UK, and I'm back working on Roman sites again. So we've got, you know, one of the best Roman sites in the country right here in our own backyard.
So I'm sure that's what attracted you to this area. But you now live here, and you've lived here for some years with your husband, who is at a London university.
Yeah, so Chris Lockyer, who is a senior lecturer at the Institute of Archaeology at UCL, which is one of the more important archaeology departments in the country, quite a big department.
And it's the combination of the two of you that has led to the project that we're going to talk about, is that right?
Well, actually, Chris gets all the credit. He applied for a grant in 2012 to do research, to create a partnership with community archaeology groups. So local archaeologists from around Hertfordshire and the surrounding counties to do a particular kind of archaeology in Hertfordshire. We're interested in doing geophysics, which is a way of looking at what's underground without actually having to excavate and move any dirt. And it's what's called a non-invasive technique.
And do you do this from with certain sorts of equipment, from close to the surface? You're not up in aeroplanes looking back down at it?
No, there are techniques that use aeroplanes, but the techniques we use, which people may have seen on Time Team, if anyone remembers Time Team, which is not that long ago, we're doing magnetometry, resistance, and ground-penetrating radar. And basically, it looks like we're pushing baby buggies up and down the field or perhaps mowing the lawn. We often get questions about what on earth are you people doing. So it's all done on the ground.
And what are you mostly finding? I mean, is this all Roman stuff?
The sites that we've done, many of them are Roman. We've also done some Iron Age sites and even some more modern ones. We did a medieval dovecote. So we've done a variety of different sites in the last 3 years, but we're focusing largely on Roman sites. And you can see ditches and walls and aqueducts and all sorts of things.
And this is basically, for those of us who are ignorant about the levels of technology, this is basically, if you think of radar, where it sends a signal out and then comes back, you are doing a more sophisticated form of that. You're getting some information back in the same way?
Every technique does something slightly different. Essentially, they're all sending some sort of signal or gathering some sort of signal from the Earth that gives you information. It basically produces a grayscale image that shows what's underground in various degrees of detail. So magnetometry, which is one of the main techniques we're using, it's measuring minute changes in the magnetic field, because there are some things that are magnetic that will be buried. So for instance, if there's an oven, an earth oven, the high temperatures that an earth oven would reach will leave a magnetic signature in the ground. If there's a ditch, the small microbial creatures that will eat organic material, when they die, they leave a tiny magnetic signature in the ground. And over time, as that accumulates, a ditch will get a magnetic signature. And so the magnetometer can detect that. It can detect really minute magnetic things that a normal magnet you wouldn't attach to, but the magnetometer can detect it. Radar is slightly different. It's just like everyone knows what radar does, where it sends the signal into the ground and it bounces back. If it's hit something hard, it comes back quicker. So if there's stone in the ground, it will bounce off the stone and we'll see that in the signature. And then resistance, you actually run an electrical current through the ground from one probe to another. And things that are wetter, usually the electrical current will run more quickly. And so something like a ditch that's filled with moist soil will have the signal, the electrical current will go quicker. And if there's a stone wall or something that's blocking it, it will go more slowly, and you'll see that as well.
Okay. Where are you doing this? My first assumption was this would be linked to Verulamium Museum, but that's just one small part of what you're doing, or what you have done.
Yes, well, since we got the initial grant from the AHRC, the Arts and Humanities Research Council, in 2013, we've been doing sites all over Hertfordshire, in Buckinghamshire, in Bedfordshire, in Essex. The site that we've worked most on is Verulamium, the Roman city of Verulamium, which is right here in St. Albans. Verulamium was the third largest Roman city in Britain, and it's the only one of the big cities that hasn't been covered over, that has not been completely surveyed. Or it was the only one. Now it has been completely surveyed. So that was really quite an accomplishment.
So let's go back to the history here, because it's easier for those of us who live in this area to know that 1930s, the Wheelers arrived and started digging and found all sorts of things. And there's been a certain amount of discovery since then, periodically. And what you're saying now is that you have mapped the entire?
Yes.
Roman city?
Yes, we have. We've done magnetometry over everything within the city walls that's accessible. Obviously, the museum and various people's houses. There's one person's back garden that we're trying to get access to next, but that's essentially we've done the entire, everything within the walls of the Roman city.
Okay, so what will you do with that information? I mean, first of all, the grant was to pay for this very expensive equipment. That was the fundamental grant, the purpose of the grant, wasn't it?
Yeah, so the initial grant did two things. It allowed us to purchase some very expensive equipment. Essentially, the magnetometer was purchased the first year. But it also allowed us to run some training classes for members of local archaeological societies. So these are avocational archaeologists. They don't have special training necessarily. They're just people who are interested in doing archaeology. And we ran a training course for them with some experts from around the world and put together basically a group of people who are interested in doing it. They do it completely as volunteers just for the fun of it. And they come out and we do this work. We now have added other pieces of equipment. And the equipment all belongs to UCL. So it all belongs to the Institute of Archaeology. But it's on loan to us.
And these training courses presumably are focused on interpretation. You get information through the machinery, but you have to know what it means. And is that what the training's about?
No, actually, the training is very mechanical. Is how do you turn the machine on? And some of the training was on the how it all works, what the science of it is. And so some members of our group are much more interested in sort of the scientific aspect of it. But a lot of the members of our group just like being out and pushing the mag up and down a field and enjoying the sunshine when it's sunny and tolerating the rain when it's not. So it really varies. So we train everybody and then we get new people and we train them in how everything works. The next stage is going to be training everyone in how to do the analysis of all the material, of all the data that comes back. You would be surprised at how easy it is to recognize what you're looking at. So in other words, some of the nuances require special training to understand what it is that you've produced. But a lot of it is actually very straightforward. You basically produce an image. It's a grayscale image. When you look at it, you can actually see, fortunately, in most of the sites we work in, the outlines of buildings or the line of a road.
Would you see a skeleton if you came across
it? No.
No, wouldn't show.
It's not like these television shows where they, you know, have very detailed, that much detail. Okay. But you can definitely see walls and roads and ditches and pits. We've been able to identify pottery kilns in Verulamium. So there's quite a bit that you can tell, even without special training.
Okay, you said you were looking at both Iron Age and Roman. How do you tell that? I mean, very often I imagine that one community lived over, above, or near the other. How do you tell the difference?
Well, there was one really interesting site we worked on in the north part of Hertfordshire, where there was an Iron Age community, and a Roman community developed right next to it. And it's very, very interesting because the Iron Age community is like a sort of circular area where there's ditches and buildings and varying pits, all sort of like a giant tangle of wool. They're all everything's circular and round and all intermingled. And then immediately to the north of that is this little Roman settlement that has a nice straight road and nice rectangular enclosures, and everything is in nice straight lines. So it's surprisingly easy to tell the difference between an Iron Age settlement and a Roman settlement.
What's the oldest thing you think you've come across, or the oldest piece of evidence?
There is the possibility, I have a vague sense that there was one site we worked on that might have been a Neolithic henge, but I don't think most of what we're looking at is Iron Age and more recent. And that's partly because that's the way that our project works. And we're a group now called the Community Archaeology Geophysics Group. The way our group works is that local archaeology societies who can't afford to buy the expensive equipment will contact us and say, we'd like you to come do a site. And the sites that they're mostly interested in tend to be Iron Age or Roman, some Anglo-Saxon. As I say, we did a medieval dovecote at one point. So that depends on what people are interested in.
Sure, yes. Now, just help me with the dates here, because I'm not that up with my periods of history.
So the Romans came in like the 5th decade of the first century, and the Iron Age was right before that. So all the people that the Romans encountered when they first came to Britain were basically what we would consider Iron Age people.
And Verulamium, which of course is a huge, as you said, one of the largest Roman centres that there was, it was destroyed and then rebuilt, destroyed by Boudicca and then rebuilt later. It stretches two sides of a road, and one side of it is a private estate. Have you been able to get into Gorhambury?
We have. Thank you very much to the Earl of Verulam, who gave us permission 2 years ago to start working in the Gorhambury side of the estate. And so we were able to do work the last few summers on the Gorhambury side. So we've completed both sides now.
Can you see any difference between the two? Or is it just a continuation of the city that was?
There is a slight difference. The biggest difference is for our work rather than for what's underground. So from our working perspective, working in the Gorhambury estate has been much easier because there aren't football goals and there aren't play areas, and there are fewer trees planted, and so it's a lot easier to work there. But in terms of the what's underground, there also seems to be slightly less development in the Gorhambury side. As you progress down the drive, and I don't know if people are familiar with...
They're away from and past the theatre, is it?
Yes,
where you go and you've got the theatre,
yes.
And then...
So if you walk down the Gorhambury drive now, past the theatre and into the estate, you're almost following the line of Watling Street, which was the main Roman road out of London, towards the Chester Gate. And as you get further along towards the gate, settlement did thin out a little bit, but there is still quite a bit on that side that has never been really studied.
And have your studies produced evidence of the sort of the pre-destruction by Boudicca and the post, the rebuild? Can you tell the difference? Or was it?
It's quite difficult to tell. The thing about geophysics is that although we're getting quite a bit of information, obviously you don't have very specific information about dating. You don't know for sure that what you think you're seeing is what you're seeing. But of course, Verulamium is a scheduled ancient monument, and therefore it has the highest protection that the government here can provide. And so archaeologists are usually reluctant to excavate sites. There are so many sites that are threatened and might be damaged in some way or destroyed, that to excavate a site that is protected and that is not under any threat, we're reluctant to do it because our techniques develop every year. Every year there's something, a new way of doing things. And we're always hoping that there'll be something better coming along, some better technique, some archaeology. When we teach archaeology to the first year students, we always say that archaeology is a destructive science. When you dig a site, you destroy it. And we're reluctant to destroy a site unless we have to.
Well, I'm looking very much forward to being able to read about the results of your surveys, of your studies. And will this be lodged anywhere, the information that we can get hold of?
We've already started publishing. We've got an article in British Archaeology. current archaeology.
And will information that you, the data that you're analysing, will that end up in any sense in the Verulamium Museum?
It already does. In fact, I think that one of our images is already in one of their brochures. So yes, obviously the information has gone to the museum, and on other sites it goes to the people who've commissioned the work. English Heritage gets a copy of everything we do, and we write reports. So the city, as particularly for Verulamium Park, all the information was given to the city. So it's definitely out there.
What next? Where do you go next?
Well, we've finished the magnetometry within the city walls. Now we need to start moving outside the city walls. There's still more ground-penetrating radar and resistance survey to do within the walls of Verulamium. And then people will come to us with new sites. We never know what the next one's going to be.
So anyone with a site in mind, they should contact you.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Ellen. Most interesting.
Thank you.